I lived in Caesarea, on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea during the first century. Caesarea was the headquarters for the Roman forces in Palestine, where Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, resided. During my services in the Italian regiment, I was a centurion, a captain in charge of 100 soldiers. I was also a proselyte, a fancy word meaning I was a convert to Judaism. I believed in the God of Israel and practiced many of the Jewish traditions, even though I was not circumcised. Through the Jewish teachings, I had learned of the promised Messiah, the one King David called the Horn of Salvation. This especially caught my attention since my name Cornelius means horn. Lord, I prayed, I know I'm not from your chosen people, but could this Messiah also be Cornelius's salvation, my salvation? One day during afternoon prayers, a messenger of God appeared to me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and seen your works of faith. Now send men to Joppa, to the house of Simon the Tanner. Simon Peter is staying there, and he will tell you what to do. So that's what I did. As my men traveled, the Lord was preparing Peter for his visit to my home. Three times God sent Peter a vision of unclean animals being lowered on a sheet. He was commanded to kill and eat. Peter would not. Jews will not eat animals declared unclean in the Old Testament. A voice then spoke to him. Do not call anything impure or unclean that God has made clean. Now go. Three men are looking for you. Do not hesitate to accompany them to their master's home, for I've sent them. The next day, I had my close friends, an entire household, wife, children, servants, and slaves gathered together, ready to receive Peter. We could hardly wait to hear his message from the Lord. Peter arrived. I went out to meet him, and in reverence I fell at his feet. Peter reminded me that he was a man like me, and I should get up. Together we entered my home, even though his entering would break Jewish law. Peter asked why I had sent for him. I explained how a messenger from God had directed me to do so. Then Peter began a sermon I will never forget. He said, "You know it is against Jewish law for Jew to visit people from any other nation. But God has shown me I am not to call any man common or unclean. God accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right." Then Peter explained how he and his friends were witnesses to Jesus of Nazareth, the promised Messiah. They were with Jesus during his ministry. They had heard his words, saw his miracles, witnessed his death on the cross. They spoke and ate with Jesus after he rose from the dead, even saw him ascend into heaven. Everyone who believes in Jesus as their Savior, they said, will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. It doesn't matter if they are Jew or Gentile. As Peter spoke, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us. My household and I began speaking in tongues and praising God. By the authority of Jesus, Peter baptized each and every one of us. We became members of the family of God. Sound the horn loud and clear. Announce to the world, the horn of salvation, Jesus Christ, has removed all sin for all people of every tribe and nation. Believers in Jesus, both Jews and Gentiles, are united in faith, members of the one and holy Christian Church. We will all enjoy life together with Jesus forever in heaven. I, Cornelius, am deeply humbled that God used me and my household to help his church say to Gentile believers, welcome to the family of God. I praise God that I too have a place, that I can be part of his story.
Dear friends in Christ Jesus, few things are more difficult in life than to be on the outside looking in. Some of us here today hated recess. Because we were always picked last for kickball or softball or basketball. Those of us who were always doing the picking never quite caught on how hard it was for the rest of us. Self-focus can be like that. Some of us here today hated high school, and you could not pay us enough money to go back and relive those days. We were not cool enough to avoid being the butt end of jokes and abuse and bullying. And those of us who were cool enough to be in the cliques never quite caught on how tough it was for the rest of us. And some of us look back on our childhood with sadness. Because my home was never as loving as your home. Your mom and dad always loved to see you come in the door, and your mom would make supper while you and dad played catch in the backyard. Your mom and dad were more excited to see me come in the door than what my own mom and dad were. And one day your mom and dad said to me, "Welcome to the family." Yes, we didn't always get it. We don't always get it. How hard it is to be on the outside looking in. Cornelius was a man on the outside looking in. He was a Gentile, a strange word to us for a non-Jewish person. No blood of Abraham in his veins. Not welcome in the inner circles, the inner courts of God's temple, and not welcome into Jewish home for sheep's head and a beer. Cornelius knew that for most of the Jews, he was on the outside looking in. But by God's grace, some of the Jews knew the heart of their God better, and they must have shared it with Cornelius. You see, Cornelius believed that Adam was not only the father of Abraham, but also the father of Cornelius. And Cornelius knew that God had created us for relationships, even speaking to create the world so that we would know his heart. Cornelius knew that God had created Adam physically ready to have a relationship with his wife, to conceive children with Eve, that together they could bring family, community in the world, that it could be born. And Cornelius believed that unlike the Roman pantheon of false gods, the true God intended a relationship, family with his creatures, family with his people, family of God, to the point of walking and talking with him just like in the original garden. In the cool of the day. Cornelius, well, I wonder, had Cornelius actually heard the heart of God through the prophet Isaiah? Where Isaiah, Holy Spirit through Isaiah, has God the Father speak in advance to Jesus, the world Savior yet to come. God said this to Jesus, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Cornelius believed that God is all about relationships, and Cornelius knew that God loved him. Though for most of the Jews, he was a man on the outside looking in. But Cornelius trusted the heart of God. And he trusted that there was room for him in the family. And so he was waiting for his Messiah from the Jewish people when an amazing thing happened. From Acts 10 and 11, our verses are recorded for today. About 3 in the afternoon, Cornelius had a vision. He saw an angel of God. "Cornelius, what is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa, the city of Joppa, to bring back a man named Simon called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened, and he sent them to Joppa. You see, God was welcoming Cornelius into his family and stating it so. But God had work to do. You see, he had to get the rest of God's family onto the same page with him. So we read, about noon the following day in Joppa, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken up into heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was. They stopped at the gate asking if Simon Peter was there. The Spirit said to Peter, "Simon, three men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." God is always teaching us, isn't he? Especially when it comes to loving others, because we can be a little bit thick in our self-centeredness. Sometimes we forget that all of us are children of Adam, that all of us are in need of a Savior from sin, and that Jesus welcomes all into his family through faith in his blood. The story I'm about to tell you is a true story. The old man was in his last days on this earth, lying in his bed with his face white and drawn. He was one of God's men waiting for the Savior to come. But in one of his clearer moments, his daughter leaned down to him and whispered into his ear and said, "Dad, there are going to be people in heaven who don't look like you. Jesus wants you to be nice to them." The family of God, communicating, reminding of God's heart, a heart for all people. Is there a prejudicial bone in your body? Could someone walk into this gathering of God's people and your heart would turn away? "Peter, kill and eat. Do not treat as unclean what I have made clean." Dear friends, sin divides community. It always has and it always will. That was Satan's intent when he entered the garden and crouched near the forbidden tree. He hated God's love for mankind. He hated mankind's love for God. And so he convinced Adam and Eve that they were wiser than their best friend. That God was lying when it came to sin and death. And that God was being selfish when it came to knowledge and freedom. And so sin happened. A piece of fruit and the world was changed. Mankind was changed. Adam and Eve ran from their friend. Adam and Eve lied to their friend. Adam and Eve attacked each other in the heat of guilt. One of their sons murdered his brother and fractured the family. And over hundreds of years, the family continually fell away from God, not wanting to listen to their Creator, thinking Him foolish. Until only eight were left who believed in God, to be carried in an ark of cypress wood as God flooded the world. And since the flood, sin continues to divide, dividing people from our Creator when we think we know better, and dividing people from each other through things like greed and arrogance and envy and prejudice. Sin, sin makes nations necessary. Sin makes borders a reality. Sin makes prejudice and hatred between peoples, terrorism, a fact of life. Sin divides community. What was God to do? Because you and I deep down know that the solution is not found in mankind. Amazingly, Cornelius got that. He understood that, and he trusted God. Apparently, Cornelius had seen enough of war and enough of death, enough of hatred, enough of a world not listening to its Creator, that for him, the Messiah of the Jews was the one who could reunite a fractured world. Would it not be cool if there was more diversity in our group this morning? Now, don't get me wrong. Suburban Milwaukee is who we are and where God has placed us. That's cool. But for the sake of God's story, wouldn't it be cool if there was greater diversity in skin color, in income, in accent, in ethnic background, so that the world could look at us and say, and ask us the question, why is St. Paul so good at loving each other with all that diversity among you? Because the rest of us, well, we're just fighting and hating on each other. And how would you answer that question as you were giving your Chinese sister a hug or teaching your Indian brother how to high-five? Might you say something like this? Well, you know, all of us, we went to school one day with our brother, a Jewish brother named Peter in the city of Joppa. It went something like this. Peter entered the home of Cornelius and found a large crowd, a large gathering of people. He said, "You are well aware it is against our law for a Jew to associate with and visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. What is it you have asked me to come here for?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago I was in my house praying. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me. 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer. Send to Joppa for Simon, called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything God has commanded you to tell us, starving for the community of God." So Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts people from every nation, accepts the one who hears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Did you catch that? Jesus is the agent of change to heal a fractured world, a world fractured by sin. And how did he do it? How did it happen so that we as the family of God are prepared and ready to welcome any and all who believe in Jesus and do his will? I gotta say, whoa, friends, time out. Did you hear what I just did? How self-centered I just was. To think that everybody else is the diversity and that you and I are the standard and the norm. Do you realize that people tell us that right now in China there are 8,000 Chinese people coming to faith in Jesus each and every day? Each and every day. Are we more worthy than others to be in the family of God? God reminds us in his book, all have sinned and fall short of the family of God. Your sins have separated you from your God forever. God doesn't see us being worthy of anything in his eyes because of sin, no matter who we are, what we look like, or how we live. Yet he calls us family. Think of what John says in his first epistle. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. What has made the difference for us? Better yet, who has made the difference for us? Well, even in earthly family, family begins with commitment, right? Family begins with two people taking on the challenge and the blessing of marriage, husband and wife. And in the family of God, it begins with commitment too, but the commitment of only one. The Apostle Paul writes to us in Romans, God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still sinning, mired in self-centeredness, Christ died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Jesus is the agent of change who bought us our ticket into heaven with his blood shed on the cross. And that is true of all of the family of God. No matter the color of our skin, the size of our offering, the sound of our accent, or the pedigree we claim to have. You and I would all be on the outside looking in if Jesus had not stepped up, washed us clean in his blood, slapped his name on us through the sacrament of holy baptism to make us presentable to our God in heaven. Won't it be cool on the last day of all things when you and I are standing with a multitude of people with great diversity and someone says, what are y'all doing here? And we say, well, Jesus sent us. He says we belong. You know, after wrestling with this text and preparing this message, I have a lot of questions when I enter into the New Jerusalem, the city of God, heaven. But one of my questions is now going to be, hey, do any of you know where Peter and Cornelius are hanging out? Because I have to go thank them for this, that lesson on family. That community happens because of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins, and that community is richer with all the diversity of God's people, including me. No one on the outside looking in, when we know Jesus, our Savior and friend. So today, in the name of Jesus, welcome to the family. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, how great is the love you have lavished on us that we should be called your children, the children of God. Doesn't matter what we look like, who we are, where we're from, how we speak, what we make, what we do. We all are equal before you, sinners who need the forgiveness of sins, but equally blessed by your Son, Jesus, who came to be our brother, to walk this earth and to start the family anew. With his blood shed for our real sin, his real blood shed for our real sin, his real blood shed for our sin to restore real family. First with you, our Savior God, we can call you Father through his blood. And now we can call each other brothers and sisters through his blood. Help us always stand or sit before you in great humility, knowing that we don't deserve to be in the family, but here we are, seated at your table, standing in your presence, listening to your word, and help us to take that message then to a world that is so like us in its diversity that it needs to hear of a Savior from sin who has repaired family with you and who repairs us through the forgiveness of sins and the promise of life eternal. So thank you for making us part of your family. Give us the courage to speak boldly and to witness that others may be brought in. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, our brother, our Savior, our friend. Amen.